Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the betting community, and welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley. You can follow me at Farley Betts on X. And it's been a long time since I've done Laying the Points, this here podcast, for many reasons. And I'll get to that in a second, but welcome back to the show. If you're a first-time listener, welcome for the first time. Very glad to have you here. I think you'll enjoy a very raw, candid, blunt, but nuanced betting show where we go over what I think are some good possible circa picks that's against the spread only. I'm not going to talk about props or totals. I might mention a few things about that that might make you want to bet on certain things. But my specialty is against the spread, right? We are fresh off a third quarter circa contest win, 150,000. Very proud of that. It's my second contest win in circa in the last 3 years. I don't think many have done that. I don't think many have done that under 40. I don't think many have done that alone. I'll get to that all in a second, but I'm very proud of that. Very grateful for it. Certainly got some good luck along the way, and I want to talk about it. But this is a betting show, and I miss doing this betting show. I miss doing the NFL Roundtable, which was a betting show that I had at the start of the season, where me and some great guys, great bettors, Jake Circus, Matt Rutledge, Patrick Gates, Kiev O'Neill from the Oddsbreakers was on there. Matty Saint, last year's Circa winner, was on there. Ryan Reynolds, one of the sharpest minds in the betting industry, was on there. I love those guys. I wanted to create more traction for all of us, but me deciding to not do that podcast anymore was a good idea because I was just a little overwhelmed. You know, I have many gigs and I want to do good. Like, I want to win at sports betting. Principally, right? Like, I want to win contests. I want to win my family money in thoughtful, precision-based ways, calculated ways. Not like we see all across the recreational gambling community where everyone's parlaying everything, right? This is a show where we try to teach you the proper tactics and perspectives to become a successful sports bettor in a nation and a world that is absolutely addicted to sports betting. And if you're addicted, that means you have behavioral tendencies to do it over and over again. You might have a lot of trouble not betting or keeping yourself away from putting down some money on a game. I'm here to tell you from experience, you might have seen my tweet after my contest when I've had some bouts with gambling addiction. That is not the route to happiness. And I have learned the hard way. And we are here to talk about that. We're here to talk about week 15 in the NFL and these ATS sides, a few games at least, that I think might be really good circa picks this week. Coming from a two-time contest winner, I can say that now. Pretty proud of that. But first, I want to talk a little bit about how I feel currently in the gambling world, because I've been a part of it now for a good 4 years. And I was that guy, in case you don't know, who 4 years ago, I cold called Kiev O'Neill from the Oddsbreakers. I heard him on Kyle Hunter's podcast, or I heard him on maybe his own podcast, or I think it was Adam Burke's podcast, which, why am I forgetting the name of that podcast? It was like, he had a cult following. Bang the Book, I guess. Adam Burke is the man. But yeah, Kiev O'Neill was on there. He was asking for more writers at the Oddsbreakers. I started writing at the Oddsbreakers. I hit 58% in the NBA for half a season. Kind of put me on the map a little bit because that's hard to do. And then in my first full year betting professionally in the public sphere, my first time entering Circa, I won fifth place overall. 68-21-1 was our record. I did it with a buddy who's not my friend anymore, who became a real prick, a real fucking jerk. And I won this last contest all by myself. So fuck you, motherfucker. How's that feel? It's so funny. That friend that I referred to, my short, fat, insecure friend who I thought was like a brother to me, turned out he was just really jealous of me. and couldn't keep up with my production in the betting industry, and then got even more envious. At one point, he wanted to claim that the Circa win was more because of him. You know, we were drunk at Circa eating steak. He was like, "Hey, Chris, tell me the truth. You think that win was more because of me?" No, buddy, it wasn't. But I'm such a nice guy. I'm way too nice sometimes. In fact, my tweet that I put out a few weeks ago when I won the Circa contest, I wish I could redact part of that tweet because I thanked people who I should not have thanked. And you know who you are when I say that. I'm just a little too nice sometimes. So my buddy was like, "Hey, Chris, was it like 51-49 me though? Admit it." And I was like, "Sure, man. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was." And ever since then, he was just acting weird. A lot of shit happened. And so, yeah, this second contest win all by my damn self felt good. Felt really good. And it really was all by myself because I didn't listen to podcasts. I didn't read anything from anybody. Just me. 19-1. Feels pretty fucking good. And, of course, you need some luck along the way. Don't get it wrong. You need some luck. Denver against the Raiders in week, 11, 12? There was an elbow about a foot away from the end zone, the one Raiders player at the end of that game, and Denver would not have covered. Somehow the game just ended. I forget how it ended. Everything's a blur. I got very lucky. I bet on the Jaguars against the Texans. Jaguars at home with Mac Jones in the second half, and Mac Jones scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to come back in that game and cover plus 3.5. Maybe it was plus 4.5. But Mac Jones needed a two-point conversion to do that, as well as two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and no points from the Texans. And all that happened. And if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be in first place. So you need some luck in these circuit contests and contests in general, no doubt about it. But you also have to somewhat know what you're doing. And that's why I'm proud of it that I did it on my own. But I wanted to talk about my background and kind of what happened since then, because I've had a lot of gigs since then. BetUS, the 33rd team. I've been on VSiN many times. Wrote for multiple websites. I was at the Odds Breakers. I wrote for BetUS actually for a little bit. I wrote for sportswagers.ca. Another big fuck you to the owner of that site. I hope he's listening to this because he tried to tell me how to bet the NFL. Check that website. He's about minus 20 units in the NFL this year. LOL. Better luck next time, buddy. Might want to retire, bro. Anyway, you know, some people might listen to this and be like, "God damn, this guy has an ego." But that's kind of why I wanted to talk about the gambling industry when I started this Welcome Back podcast. Because it kind of sucks. Like, the betting industry is not good for your health. Gambling X is really bad for your health. I do want to name names, but I don't, you know, because I don't want to start wars with people who are really petty and I don't know, you know, it's not good. It's not good juju, even though I've already talked shit about a few people, but I won't name names. But there's some people in this betting industry who have a God complex. I mean, the people who are like on podcasts, a few of them who are on the masterclass for sports betting. What are you kidding me? A masterclass for sports betting? Sure. I mean, there's a few fake personalities in that masterclass. I'll put it that way. But the envy in the community, like, I'm not allowed to be successful, apparently. And I'm certainly not allowed to be confident about my success or talk about my success. I think some old heads in the sports betting industry don't like that very much. And I don't know what that's because of either, but there's just a lot of, it's a cesspool of negativity. And being in this industry for the last 4 years, I'm being really honest with you guys on this is my flagship show. That I've been very passionate now for 5 years about sports betting, trying to succeed in this industry. I sincerely cannot wait to get out of this industry, to be a quiet sports bettor and a contest winner on my own, without X, without all the judgment, all the bullshit, all these guys who have their models who have no idea about any aspect of any sport, about any of the psychology that occurs on the field, the intangibles, the things that actually make the difference at the end of the day. And when it most of the time, that makes the difference of if a team is going to cover or not, is the intangibles, how they operate under pressure, how they operate as a team, how well the coaching dynamics are with the team, how great the leaders are on the field, all these things. Like these are areas that I think I excel in. And I love watching sports and dissecting these elements of it. And you need the data. You need the data. I'm not some like esoteric, spiritual, feeling-oriented idiot who just like bets on games with his feelings. Like I couldn't go 19-1 if that was the case, okay? You need data, and I encourage people to use models. But there's just such this like high and mighty pulpit pontificating about the way that certain, like the right ways to bet, the wrong ways to bet. So much of it is just absolute bullshit. Even from the guys who have been in the industry for 40, 50 years, they want to feel important. They want to tell other people what to do. They want to condescend to others. And more than anything, they don't want to lose their spot. There are a few people in this industry, Kyle Hunter, Lou Finocchiaro, Kiev O'Neill, Adam Burke, to name a few, Maddie Saint, Durbify, Tony Durbify, who won Circa a few years ago when I won fifth place. There are many guys in the sports betting community that are awesome. Some of the greatest people I've ever met. Like really cool, easygoing, nice, hustlers, men. They're great. And there's some great women in the sports betting industry too, don't get me wrong. Although there are a lot of pretentious, you know, titty bouncing, superficial bullshit gals in the sports betting community too. But the ones who are not pontificating, who are just hardworking, who are trying to make an honest work out of this industry, are getting more and more rare. And I am getting more and more sick of where the sports betting industry is going. And I'm not sure I want to be a part of it anymore. And one of the biggest reasons why I was happy that I won Circa was that, you know, I have some goals that I want to accomplish in the sports betting industry. A big part of that is money, earning money, you know, like loads of money. And I'm almost at the point where I'm okay with not being in the public eye anymore. I'll let you know when that's about to happen. But I'm telling you right now that I guarantee that will happen. Call it a Barry Sanders kind of exit. Am I the Barry Sanders of the sports betting community? No, I'm not saying that. But the potential is obviously there for me to spend many years in this industry and do a lot of great things, I think. I mean, hopefully I've done enough writing-wise, winning-wise, my records, contest wins, to prove that I am pretty good at this. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it in front of other people anyway. I'm not going to do it in the public sphere. I'm going to do it on my own. Because when I was a sports bettor, and it was just a habit of mine that I like, or not a habit, excuse me, a hobby that I enjoyed, then there was almost a purity in that, right? A love of the sport. But now the constant, like, you're saying the wrong thing, or you're doing the wrong thing, or you are, there's competition. It's like, and to be honest with you, guys and girls who are listening, who are still listening, hopefully, who don't mind a little candor, like, I'm not saying I'm the toughest guy alive. Like, if me and Brock Lesnar met in an alley, Brock Lesnar is going to beat my ass in about 3 seconds. However, against the common man, I'm no fucking pushover. And I can't handle the pussies in the sports betting community, the 5'9", 140-pound, XL staring, birds on their shoulders, you know, foggy glasses, pontificators who are just, it's that, it's those guys, and then it's the superficial bullshit gamblers, and then it's the old heads who are just mad all the time. And I'm not fond of any one of those groups. I'm very grateful for my contest win. Fuck you to anybody who thought I couldn't. And there's more where that came from, and there will be more where that came from. I said it before, and I'll say it again, and I followed up, and I'll keep on doing it. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. I'm very grateful. Let's talk about week 15. Some of these spreads are really difficult. Like, I would say there's not as many this week that I'm looking at as possibilities. Like, I'm not touching Baltimore at the Giants. Why? Because a few years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe it was three, the year that Brian Daboll was first their coach, right? So I think that was the 2021 season. No, I think it was 2022. All these years run together. The Ravens went to Giants Stadium, and the Giants beat them straight up. Now, Daniel Jones was playing. It was the first year of Brian Daboll's reign. They were overperforming. That's the year he won Coach of the Year. It was an entirely different team. This is going to be Tommy DeVito this weekend, okay? I'm not saying that the Giants have a chance. But 16.5 on the road. Look at Baltimore's past against the NFC East. Now, not against the Cowboys this year, obviously. But they've struggled. And I can't take the Giants, but I'm not going to take Baltimore either. So there's a lot of games like that, like the Jets and Jacksonville. What, are you kidding me? No, thank you. Right? Those are two dead teams. Not going to touch them. Washington and New Orleans, same thing. Washington is obviously an improving team. Derek Carr is not playing in that game for the Saints. It's at the Saints. As a handicapper, you want to go with the Saints. But I'm telling you not to, and I'm telling you to not go with Washington either. I mean, go ahead. Like, one side is going to be right, but it's way too volatile for me. Why? Because Washington, leading up into the season, this game would have been, even if there was no Derek Carr, leading up to the season, this might have been, what, like a Washington -2? You know, something like that, because of no Derek Carr. But Washington is a very new, good team, which is a big point that I'm going to make on today's very quick show. And these are all going to be quick. I'm going to try and do them every week, but they're always going to be quick. I don't got time for all that. I'm going to sit here for an hour, hour and a half. You don't have time for all that, right? But there's a lot of teams who are recently very good. I don't know if I entirely trust at this point for Washington to be taking a 7.5, 8-point spread on the road. But I'll tell you about a few games that I am interested in. The Houston Texans are off a bye. The Houston Texans have been underperforming. They can't protect C.J. Stroud. Their defense hasn't been as consistent. C.J. Stroud hasn't been as consistent. Meanwhile, the Dolphins are getting a lot of love from the marketplace. They've taken care of business at home. They're good in most environments except for the cold, right? With Tua back, their offense is still pretty damn good. It ain't like it used to be, but it's still pretty damn good. So a lot of sharps like the Dolphins +3. I think that's a mistake. I think the Texans could roll the Dolphins. Okay, they're off that game where, you know, Shazier, whatever that guy's name is, got suspended. Terrible, ugly hit. But D'Amico Ryans was, you know, taking some flack from the media about that. You know, they had the bye week. They're at home. If this is a playoff team, if this is the team that before the season was, what, top 6, top 7 to win the Super Bowl, then they need to take care of business. It's postseason season, right? It's December. We're getting close. And I think it's a mistake to choose the Miami Dolphins, who are hanging on by a thread in the playoff race. Kansas City and Cleveland. Kansas City, understandably, right? They're on a historic ATS losing streak, are down to -4 on the road at Cleveland. Of course, at Cleveland, there's going to be wind. It's going to be a little cold. Kansas City is used to that, though. That's not going to bother Kansas City. You might want to consider an under in this game. But -4 against Jameis Winston and the Browns. I like what Jameis Winston has been doing, but this is the Kansas City Chiefs. This is Patrick Mahomes. Eventually, the tide is going to turn. The Browns +4 at home feels sexy. I don't think it is. Dallas and Carolina, not going to touch it. Dallas is done. Carolina has a lot to prove, but Carolina is a favorite. -2.5, -3. No thanks. New England and Arizona. I could only look at New England. I like what Drake May is doing. He's the best running quarterback in the NFL right now, believe it or not. White dude playing for New England, the best running quarterback. Or I guess he has more runs over 20 yards than any other quarterback, something like that. Arizona, I don't know if Kyler Murray is playing too much COD or whatever, but Arizona has looked clunky. Kyler Murray was really mistake-prone at the start of that game last week against the Seahawks. Gave the Seahawks 2 quick interceptions. So they had 2 short fields in that game. You know, they gained margin instantly on the Cardinals. Wasn't a good look for Arizona. And this is a nice setup for them. But you're going to take Arizona after the way they looked at a touchdown? -6. I could only look at New England there. Tampa Bay, I think, is pretty interesting because the Chargers have had a really rough schedule. Now they're off that loss against the Chiefs. Just a lot of emotion, a lot of games in a very short window. That Kansas City game was their third game in 14 days. Now they get a little bit of time to rest in between, but Tampa Bay is fighting for the NFC South, and Baker Mayfield is a fighter. And I think he's a tough quarterback for defenses to prepare for because he's just so feisty, right? Like, I'm not a Baker fan necessarily. Well, I wasn't a fan when he was on the Browns, but this has been a great fit for him. He gets the whole team going. On both sides, especially their offensive line, but even on defense, like, they're formidable. So the Chargers, if they fall asleep in that one, which Jim Harbaugh teams don't typically fall asleep, but no one's perfect, right? And the Chargers have been performing at a very high level, could have beaten the Chiefs last week. So that's an interesting one. Tampa Bay is the only side I would look at there. Buffalo and Detroit is a very sexy game. Might be the most entertaining game of the season. A lot of games that feature Buffalo and Detroit are contenders for the most entertaining games of the season. And now they're going to battle. So there's a 54.5 point total on this one. But that makes it too volatile for me, right? Like, Detroit is bound to stumble probably before the playoffs at some point. They have a ton of injuries on defense. I know they keep stepping up, but this is Josh Allen. But Josh Allen is also in his second road spot. So it's a tough one for Buffalo. I mean, teasing up Buffalo is not a bad idea. I'm looking at Denver in the Indian-Denver game, and I'm only looking at Denver. Anthony Richardson against the Denver defense. Like, I think the Denver defense can swallow him up. I mean, it's at Denver, obviously, elevation, not easy. Outside, not easy. And they're off a bye. So is Indy, but I'll take Sean Payton and the trajectory of that team off a bye before I'll take the Colts. Pittsburgh and Philly, battle Pennsylvania. This is a tough one too, but the Steelers, this is what they do, right? Like, you're going to put a 5.5 point dog designation on the Battle of Pennsylvania and you're going to put it on the Steelers side. They've been consistently elite offense and defense most of the season. I mean, it's not easy for us to stomach that, but it's true. Putting up a lot of points, making plays on defense when they need to. Like, the stats aren't always there on defense, but they mostly are. Top 10 in most categories that matter. Third down conversions, you know, opponent total points, total yards, yards per rush, yards per pass. So Pittsburgh is a very formidable team. Like, that's not a fluke anymore, guys. 5.5, could only look at Pittsburgh there. Could only look at Green Bay, too. I know everybody loves Seattle. Like, Fezzik loves Seattle this week. Sharp guys love Seattle. Lou Finocchiaro loves Seattle. I'm always afraid to go against Lou because I just respect him so much and his mentality. But I can only look at the Packers here. I've seen a lot of phony wins by Seattle the past 4 weeks, and I've benefited from that in Circa. But I know firsthand that there's at least two games against the Jets and last week against the Cardinals where I'm not sure if they really should have won those games, especially against the Jets. Jets shooting themselves in the foot always, but against the Cardinals too. Like, Kyler Murray threw those passes right to those Seattle defenders. But that's not like elite Seattle defense. That's just Kyler Murray being an idiot. And then Seattle holding on to a lead and winning by 12 points. Well, they were given 14 points in that game. I mean, you could argue they were given 17 points in that game. So I don't trust Seattle. I know they're at home, but again, new coach, Mike McDonald, big NFC battle. Green Bay knows how to smack you in the mouth too, right? They'll run it right down your throat. Chicago and Minnesota. Lou talked me off of picking Chicago, but my instinct was to pick Chicago because Minnesota has also been a little phony. I love Kevin O'Connell. Very happy for Sam Darnold. But, like last week, for example, Atlanta, who I consider a very, very average team. Atlanta was tied with them at the end of the third quarter, 21-21, and they outplayed Minnesota in a lot of ways. More first downs, more yards. And that's with a 21-point explosion in the fourth quarter for Minnesota. So Minnesota gained a lot of garbage time stats. Atlanta played better for three quarters of that game. They just also made a lot of mistakes. 12 turnovers for 130 yards? Crazy. So Atlanta is very average, very mistake prone. And what the stats won't tell you, what the 42-21 box score won't tell you, is that they were right there in that game. But Chicago, like, Chicago's done, right? So I think you can only look at Minnesota in that game, actually. But I would look for an opportunity to fade Minnesota. That's not a popular opinion right now, but I feel very strongly about that. Maybe it's going to be in the playoffs, but I'm going to look to fade Minnesota in the right spot here coming up. And finally, the team I just talked about, Atlanta and Vegas. If Atlanta can pull this one out and Antonio Pierce can have his guys, you know, play up and, you know, get feisty over there, especially in Vegas at home, but that's not a good team and they don't have a good quarterback. And Atlanta's defense played really well for most of that game last week against the Vikings before the, you know, the dam broke. Atlanta has the ingredients, and Kirk Cousins is not a bad, like, I don't think he's done yet. But if, like, Max Crosby hits him a few times, then I don't feel good about Atlanta either. But I don't think you can go Raiders there, but I wouldn't blame you if you sided with Atlanta, because they want to win the NFC South. I mean, it's now or never, right? Like, Tampa Bay is going to move ahead. And, you know, the Saints are out of it. Carolina's out of it. But it's between the Saints, it's between the Falcons and the Bucks. And this is go time. -4. If Atlanta wins last week or it's a competitive game, this ain't a -4. And they really could have. I appreciate everybody listening. I told you it's going to be candid. It's going to be this exact same way every single week that I do this podcast. And until the football season is over, it's going to be about football. And then I'm going to transition to the NBA. I've been very, very successful in the NBA in January. Something like, I got to check my stats, but I know it's over 80 units for the past three seasons in just January. You can sign up to be a top play client of mine. Hit me up on Twitter at Farley Betts if you're interested. Hit me up at Farley Betts if you want my top plays in the NFL for the rest of the season. Since week 7, we're plus 40 units. That is all from me, Farley Betts. Brash, in your face, but not telling any lies, are we? Appreciate you all listening. We'll see you next week for week 16. Good luck with your bets, everybody.